Some of them said, "Oh, I had lots of questions, but now I forgot all that." Some of them wrote like this. Obviously, I was just looking at.
So you have some?
I have a couple of, not more. Maybe tomorrow morning we come.
Okay.
So I can translate.
Yeah.
Question, about veganism that you podcasted the day before.
Mm-hmm.
I got the answer, but it's something like, is there any, is it harmful to go a vegan diet, or is it good if we follow vegan diet in Istanbul?
In principle, we're meant to be consuming milk. That's our diet, Vaishnav diet, milk products. But so not to consume milk is not the ideal. As I said, the ideal thing is that you get milk, which is a product of nonviolence. I don't think there's a lot more harmful things going on than having a vegan diet, but it's a matter of balancing between the principle and the diet.
Onu takip etmek.
Yeah, the principle is that we don't want to be the cause of suffering for cows. On the other hand, a natural diet has milk products in it. I don't think that devotees should become vegans, even if they follow a vegan diet, because being a vegan is a certain philosophy. It's not our philosophy. It may be the worst or the best of a bad bargain that we're making, but still we're remaining Vaishnavas. That's our philosophy and lifestyle, but we may, for our own personal reasons, not be consuming milk product. And if we do that, then we need to look at some kind of other vegetables, vegetarian things, which we can supplement the calcium and other types of protein loss that we have from not eating milk products. So that's in terms of the health, that's how we can compensate for that. But the point is that even if we're not eating milk products, it isn't that we've become vegans, we're Krishnas. It's just that we may be doing some things that vegans may also do. Is that okay?
The question is, sometimes in Turkey we don't have actually so much problem to find vegetables, fresh vegetables, because of the geography and climate. But sometimes in winter time, we would like to use corns or peas. And that time, these times, we find it in the supermarkets frozen or canned. Is that I know it is not good to consume frozen food, but if we would like to use with some recipes, should we use either or we shouldn't use at all? Choice, should we use frozen or canned?
I think I could understand Turkish very easily.
Türkçe
It's always better to eat whatever is fresh and season. Now, there's two things you're talking about. One is what we do in terms of worshiping Krishna, and the other is what is good for us health-wise. So, when it comes to worshiping the deity, then it is better to offer them fresh things, even if you can't offer all the things that you'd like to offer. So in that case, it's better not to offer corn out of season. And as long as in every season there's something to eat, then it's better to eat things that are seasonable, because that's the way Krishna planned it. If Krishna wanted us to eat corn all year round, it would grow all year round. But it doesn't, so when it does, that's generally when we eat it. But that formula only works when we live in places where Krishna wants us to live. When we start going to very remote places or places that aren't really for civilized people, then we're forced to eat in a different way than what Krishna also would prefer. So, for instance, here in Hungary, the winters are cold, there's no growing season in the winter, there's very little that's fresh, maybe cabbage, which means that you have to make compromise. You make a compromise for the service of the deities so that they do get nice things, even though it's not fresh. And you make a compromise for preaching so that we can actually offer nice foods to people. And we also make a compromise for our eating habits, because otherwise it becomes too austere for us. So for that reason, yes, you can eat canned things and frozen things. When the situation becomes so austere that there's nothing else. Yeah. But if there's plenty of choice of other things, then it's better to do that. So in many circumstances like this, it's always a difficult thing. You have to balance between what's ideal and what's available and what's practical. Like, the principle is always offer fresh things that are in season to the deities. But if you have no growing season, then just offering cabbage and apples to the deities is not good. So then it's better to offer frozen and canned things to the deities to provide variety, because the variety balances off the principle of having something fresh. And the same may be in terms of our personal lives as well. Something else?
Yes. What does Krishna teach in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna and all humanity?
What does he teach? Krishna teaches many things, and the purpose of all those things is that ultimately we surrender to him and become his devotees. All of Bhagavad Gita is all about understanding the existence of God and his nature and qualities. And Krishna is teaching to humanity that God is a person, he's not impersonal. And he teaches everyone that the best way to know him fully is by devotional service. And because devotional service is about surrendering to him, then Krishna also teaches us the basic principles of surrender. And that's sort of where Bhagavad Gita leaves off. It tells us that because we're eternal servants of Krishna, therefore we should serve him. And then Srimad Bhagavatam continues from Bhagavad Gita, and it teaches actually the different types of service and the perfection of service. So if we study Bhagavad Gita very carefully, then we will come to the conclusion that we should also surrender to Krishna. Last one.
Ability to control our minds. Is it possible? Zihnimizi kontrol etmek mümkün mü?
Yeah. Yes, otherwise Krishna wouldn't say that we should control our minds. But he also says that it's not easy. He says, Chanchala Himana Krishna. Or Arjun says that the mind is very flickering and it's very difficult to control. And that's the reality. And especially in Kali Yuga, it's very difficult to control the mind and senses. But it's possible. It's possible by engaging our senses in Krishna's service and primarily by chanting Hare Krishna. Without controlling one's mind, one cannot become really a yogi. And controlling the mind is only one step. It's not the goal. Controlling the mind is a prerequisite before one can actually absorb the mind and thoughts of Krishna. Because ultimately, our goal is not just to keep the mind from doing the right wrong thing, but to actually have it spontaneously doing the right thing. Anyway, both can be achieved by putting our energy into chanting Hare Krishna and listening to Krishna's holy name. Shall we continue tomorrow? Yeah, we can do in the morning and then we can do one in the evening.